It's an awful long time in the bathroom!
The Emperor has no clothes!
Dave from Memphis, fuckface.
I would really like to have sex with her.
So I would marry my granddad.
Hello and welcome. We are back. It is the Baller Lifestyle Podcast from theballerlifestyle.com. Thank you for joining us. Episode 152 of the show. Very, very glad you are here listening to me. Joining me now, as always, of course, it's Ed Daly. Ed, how are you?
Doing well. I wanted to clarify something we were talking about last week about debating and stuff like that. You know, a couple of jerk-offs wanted to, like, trash us for being closed-minded. Like, I'm not saying I've never changed my mind. I've changed my mind plenty of times based on, like, things I read, whether it's, like, drones, things that, like, at first I thought, oh, that's fine. And then you read about it and you're like, oh, you change your mind. You evolve. But, I was talking about, like, you know, somebody posting something on Facebook, like some argumentative thing, and it's like that shit just never gets through.
That was clear
to me. That's what I was talking about. And I was saying, I don't know. And then the other thing I wanted to say is, fuck Phil Jackson. I really hate this guy.
Oh yeah, fuck Phil Jackson.
He's just the worst.
I know.
He is confused having three of the top 10, 15 guys in the history of basketball.
Yeah.
To being about him.
Yes.
Like, he's confused that altogether. His fucking triangle offense that is just not part of today's NBA whatsoever.
No.
He's insistent on coaches running it, and he's very meddlesome. Like, his personnel moves, his best personnel move was drafting Porzingis, and he lucked into him. He was the fourth pick that draft.
Yep.
Like, that wasn't Phil Jackson. Just fell into his lap.
Yes.
He's terrible. He is the worst. And, like, he's got a buddy who writes for the New York Times, and that buddy is, like, writing scathing things trying to motivate Carmelo Anthony to remove his no-trade clause. And it's like, well, we know who's feeding this guy the information, and you're the dickhead who signed Carmelo to a no-trade clause. So, like, that's your own fault. Like, he's a really terrible, terrible personnel guy. And, like, who knows how much coaching really matters in the NBA?
It doesn't.
As opposed to, like, roster building. Like, I don't think he's proven all that much as a coach, despite his 10 rings or whatever.
No, coaching only matters when you have the best players.
Yeah.
When you have the best players, then it's very important to
remember
coach
when people were raving about Eric Spoelstra in Miami? Oh, this guy.
Yes.
He's a savant. He just knows the game. And it's like, well, somehow they're not dominant anymore. I don't know what happened.
Eric Spoelstra does have my respect, though, because he was able to pull one of those Heat girls. Like,
oh, yeah?
He's married a cheerleader, or he was engaged to one. I don't know if they're married yet, but he's got some game.
He might be a good basketball mind, but, like, it just doesn't matter that much. If you're a really terrible coach, you can mess things up. But, like, for the most part, like, when you have Michael Jordan, if you don't win five championships in however many years, like, then you really fucked up.
Phil Jackson used to be the coach of the Lakers.
Yeah.
And his
whole thing, happened to have two amazing
Shaq
players.
And Kobe. His whole thing was, like, he's this great communicator, and here's what he would do. He would give the guys a book.
Right. Like, oh, yeah. Here's On the Road by Kerouac.
Yes. He would give them Gladwell books and books on Zen, and he'd be like, here, read this. And then the other thing he would do is not call timeout, and that was, like, a big thing. Oh, look, let him work it out. Let him work it out on the floor. How about you fucking stand up? He would sit down the whole time because he has a bad back. How about you fucking stand up and you do that little thing where you make a T with your hands to tell the referee that it's fucking timeout because it's time to make your $7 million. Like, get up and do some fucking coaching. And you're the greatest motivator in the world, but you couldn't get Shaquille O'Neal to stop eating donuts and you couldn't get Kobe Bryant to fucking pass. And yes, they succeeded, but they could have succeeded more.
Of course they could have. Yeah, they couldn't get along. He couldn't get them to, you know, giving them a copy of fucking Ken Kesey didn't get them get along and stay in the same building. Like, fuck you, Phil Jackson, you fuckface.
Overrated.
As Jeff Van Gundy used to call him when he was the Bulls coach, Chief Triangle.
Yes, that's very rude. Ed, this Sunday, I spent a little time antiquing in my favorite antique.
Fair enough.
My favorite flea market.
I would make fun of you, but I just don't give a shit about the NFL playoffs.
This is my point. This is what I would like to discuss. I am not the biggest NFL fan in the world. I keep an eye on what's happening, but I don't do fantasy. I don't pay attention to any of this bullshit. And these people, talking about the people that listen to the show mostly, probably a lot of them, are so they can't wait for NFL and the draft, and I got to watch the combine, and who's my team going to get? And so I came home and I watched the second half. I made it home from antiquing in time. And this always happens. You never miss anything. I never miss anything because I can see the last 5 minutes. I watched the second half.
Yeah, you catch the last 5 minutes of that game, the Cowboys game, and you saw what happened.
Fantastic game. Amazing game. Incredible ending. I don't want to be in this position because, like all red-blooded Americans, I hate the fucking Dallas Cowboys.
Right.
But I find myself kind of rooting for them all of a sudden. Like, I sort of like
what that means.
I don't understand that. I sort of like their players. Like, they got some fourth round quarterback from Mississippi State, and he's good. And he's called Dak for some reason, and he's 24, but he has a receding hairline.
When he was going into his senior year, he got his ass beat at some concert, and the video was floating around. It was really bad.
Yes,
I think we might have talked about that.
Okay, the point is, I'm digressing anyway. I sort of found myself rooting for the Cowboys, but although I didn't care, it was an amazing ending. But I will say this: I have not sat and watched even one game. I've not watched a football game all season. Hero, I didn't watch that whole game. I watched the end of it. It was very good. But by my count, there has been exactly one good playoff games in the NFL playoffs. The entire, every single fucking game is super boring, super dull, super slow, never in question, lots of fucking field goals. I got a bunch of Steeler fans all excited. Oh, you made 14 field goals. Well, that's some team you got there. Like, this game that you guys are so fucking excited about, like you're so hyped up about, is the slowest, dullest, least interesting sport we have as Americans.
I mean, I disagree in that. I love football, and I watched parts of all 40 bowl games.
Well, one of the good games. Well, that's different. College football is different.
I like college football. Me too, of course. I love one team in the NFL. And I really don't give a shit. I mean, I'll watch some games the next weekend. I'll watch the Super Bowl. But I really just don't give a shit about the average game. Whereas I can watch Colorado play Washington or, you know, whatever the college football game is. I can watch that. There's a different intensity in the an urgency. The crowd is a little more into it. And I just like random college football. But, like, I don't know. I'm having a hard time. Like, each year, my interest in just generic playoff games is...
Agreed. Concur. That's my point. I agree with you. 100%. I like watching, like, the service academies. I like watching Air Force play Wyoming because the service academies always have to run weird offenses because they can't get that many good players.
Right. So the NFL, they all run the same shit.
It's all the same. And I like watching different... stuff. Like I like it to be weird and interesting and just rant.
Texas,
you know,
Tech versus Navy.
Two completely
different, you know, styles.
Love it. I love it. I love small college football and this NFL. Like, you guys got such a fucking hard on for this NFL. It's dull. It's a boring sport. The emperor has no clothes is my point. and there's been one exciting NFL playoff game. And by the time the Super Bowl is over, I put the over under at 1.5.
Yeah. I don't, I could see yeah. the rest of the games going over 7 points.
Also, why are the Falcons in the NFC Championship game? How did that happen? Where'd the Falcons come from? What the
yeah, fuck? I don't see the how Falcons. That could happen.
Matty Ice. Ooh, Matty Ice.
Yeah.
Matty Ice.
Fucking guy at Boston College would throw like 20 picks a year. Somehow yeah. he's Matty Ice.
Matty Ice. Okay, one more thing. This is something that's driving me crazy. Mm-hmm. I can't escape La La Land.
So much chatter.
It's everywhere. It won all the Golden Globes. And everything about it looks so fucking terrible, Ed. It's
yeah, like absolutely terrible in every way.
Yeah, one, it's a musical. They're singing and dancing.
A lot of dancing, twirling, and like old-timey dancing.
Yeah, old-timey. They're hamming it up. It's a white guy that's like trying to save jazz. And
yeah,
it's,
if you want to show me Turbo and Ozone dancing, yes. like, you know, breaking to Electric yes. Boogaloo.
Of course.
Now we're talking dancing, but like, this is like ballroom dancing.
It looks awful. Everything about it looks so awful. And it makes me wonder, Ed.
Yeah.
Do I need to go and see it just to confirm its awfulness? Like, I walk around
you're
going to
be angry. That's yes, the type of movie yes, that's not yes. like silly and like, oh, let's make fun of it. Like, you're going to be pissed off. Like, this is the best picture? Like, I am not going to ever check it out. Even if it's the only thing offered on an airplane, I'm not checking that fucking thing out.
Okay, fair enough.
I will tell you something else to not check out. Yeah. I took my two sons to a movie that they saw previews for and were dying to see. And I think it's the first ever movie written by a 9-year-old boy. It's called Monster Trucks. And it was terrible.
Is it a Pixar? It can't be a Pixar.
No. It's not like a cartoon. It's like an actual... I don't know, some like kid in, you know, like 17-year-old kid in North Dakota is messing around in his garage and like a monster lives inside of his truck. Like it's, and it becomes this like living truck. Oh,
you've lost me. You've lost me.
It's like a fucking 9-year-old boy wrote it. It's like, hey, let's get monsters and trucks and chase scenes. And then like, the movie seemed like it was wrapping up at like the 70-minute mark. I was like, well, I'll give it this. It's wrapping up quickly.
And then I
went to the app, the movie time app. I forget what it's called.
You do?
Yeah, I use it all the time.
When I want to
see the movie times.
Not the Flixster. Running time. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Flixster. But if you click on the movie you're at, and I
it
saw
tells
it,
you how long it is.
It said 2:08, and I was like, there's gonna be like another hour of this, and it was just the same shit over and over again. So I cleansed the palate the other night, and I saw the Hidden Figures about the black mathematician.
Oh, I heard that's very good.
You know, it's a great story. I had read about the main chick about a year ago because she got a Medal of Honor from Obama. So they had already kind of she had been in the news a little bit. I would say it plays like a Disney movie. Like it's a perfectly nice, pleasant. It's a good movie for an airplane.
Kind of. Like an old timey Disney movie, like what they made in the 60s, 70s and 80s that you don't really see anymore.
And it's kind of the same vibe as like the Disney sports movies where there really isn't a negative going on. It's like, I mean, yes, there's like racism, but it's not like I also recently saw Selma. And that movie is like scary racism going on. This was like, oh, a black woman can't do this. And then she proves she can. It's a nice movie, but like I would say it plays like a Disney nice movie. Like it's not doesn't have the hard edge that other movies about race do.
Endorsed. So you've endorsed it.
Yeah, I'd say it's a quality movie, but like, you know, do you need to run to the theaters to see it? Nah.
Dude, back to that monster truck thing. Does Bigfoot and or Gravedigger make an appearance? And if so, how is it 30 years on and we haven't got a third monster truck that's a household name? Because I know Bigfoot and Gravedigger, and I'm pretty sure they're still the giants in the business, yeah?
Well, I took the boys to a monster truck show like maybe a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
And it was Bigfoot and Gravedigger. And there's like somebody else that's like an offshoot, like Gravedigger Jr. or Bigfoot Jr. or something like they're just naming them after each other. It's awful.
And it's like the Uggas, right? Like it's like, yeah, this is Bigfoot, but it's like really Bigfoot 17. Like it's not running like an 89 Dodge out there. They got a new truck, right?
Yeah. And the other thing about these events is you don't just see little boys there.
Yeah.
Like you see adults. You're looking for somebody and you're like, oh, I wonder where their kid is. Oh,
no, it's just adults.
They're wearing the Bigfoot t-shirt.
Yeah. Shut up.
They're collecting autographs, like just adults, and totally like they're not thinking they're doing something ironic or weird. No,
they're
like
into it.
They're just like really, and like they are following the stats. Like, oh, he's got four wins this season. He's an up and comer. They actually think this is a real thing.
Stop it. Isn't it like pro wrestling? Like that's what it's predetermined, right? Or like, how do they even, I don't even want to know.
But funny thing is like, they'll have scores and like, they all kind of do the same shit. They like jump over something. They mash.
Yes.
Yeah, so
that's
car,
what I'm saying. Yeah.
And they're like, well, oh my goodness. Did you see what he just did? And it's like, I think they all just did the same thing for like an hour and a half.
And isn't it easier later because they mash the cars and then the cars get pretty flat?
That's right. By the last guy, there's nothing. It's like a speed bump.
Yes, exactly. Like that I would want to go last. I'd be like, raise my hand. Can I go last? Like, just let these guys mash the cars. And then at that point, you could just drive like a late model Cavalier over the cars.
But I'll play devil's advocate. Yes? If you go last. Yeah. Then the audience has just seen like the previous 10 cars do the same 10 tricks. So like you'd be like, all right, but this move, I'm going to go over the dirt hill and then over the smash cars.
Oh, again? Is it judged? Like, or is it for time?
Well, they seem to have some sort of score.
Oh, right.
I'm not sure.
It's judged.
There must be a judge there. They're just like making it up. Like maybe like just numbers appear and people start celebrating. Like I was never clear. Like I one time went to a cricket match in London, and that made way more sense to me.
Well, that's very hard to understand. That's very that scoring's very hard to follow.
It's very, like, but it was like way Australian easier rules than football. That monster trucks. I didn't know like what was there. Was just numbers appearing on a board and people cheering. I was like, I don't know what the fuck's going on right now.
Somebody in our audience explain monster trucks to us. You can do it on voicemail 949-464-TBLS. Give us like a 30-second thumbnail. Here's how monster trucks work. Also, I miss when ESPN had this shit on. ESPN used to not have sports. They used to have guys talking about sports, and then they would have like rant like marbles. I used to see marbles on ESPN and monster
trucks. Strongest man was the best.
I actually know my dear friend Travis Rogers is telling me that he knows a kid, one of his kid's friend's dad is an Icelandic strongman.
Oh.
And he deserted the family to devote his time to being an Icelandic strongman.
I'm sure that won't cause any psychological problems.
He's just had to go to the. He had to go to the gym and throw some full kegs of beer. Like that's sorry, family. I'm out of here. I'm an Icelandic strongman.
Guys, I'd like to be there for your school musical, but I got to go pull an 18-wheeler with my teeth right now.
That's right. You see that 747 over there on the tarmac? It's not going to make it another 80 feet unless I get out there and put a harness on and fucking pull that motherfucker. So, sorry about your math homework, Timmy.
This refrigerator isn't gonna throw itself.
Well, I missed that. Like that kind of shit. There needs to be that. That stuff needs to be on TV. I don't care about talking heads having fake arguments about who's elite.
Right.
That's not interesting.
Right. And when you're in a bar and you see it on like mute, and then you see the questions. Yeah. No, I'm saying the talking heads, and it'll be like, is Tom Brady elite? ? And two guys are screaming. You're like, what? Is this what? Yeah. What year is this?
Yes, I know. Like, why are you having that conversation? That's a cool thing about Europe is you go to a bar in Europe and you sit down to drink a beer, and it'll be like 4 o'clock on a Tuesday, and there's like track and field on. And you're like, what? What is going on here? And then you're like, wait, this is kind of cool. And then you're totally watching the javelin. You're watching, like pro sports.
Women's
track
hammer
and field.
Throw. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. You're like, oh, I'm into this.
Yeah,
I need I need more of that. I need less of this football, this NFL football that you guys have been hyping up all this time. I tried watching that shit, all right?
Yeah, super dull. Or they debate, is Le'Veon Bell going to play this weekend? You see two guys screaming about it. It's like, yeah, well, he's either going to play or not. Like, you're yelling about it. It doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, who cares? Yes, exactly. Although the Chargers moved to L.A., which is a debatable thing, but
the three logos in 2 days?
Yeah. So
what were they doing?
It's funny because they had to know they were doing this for a year.
Yeah. Didn't everyone know for the last year?
Right. That there was, that it was more likely than not that they were going to do this. And then at the last minute, they had some intern do a sad logo.
Looked like the Tampa Bay Lightning logo.
Yeah. That looks like a mock-up. But my point is that football is pretty boring. But for the next 2 years, the Chargers are going to play in like a 16,000 seat soccer stadium.
Which, that's cool. That's
kind of exciting, right?
That's more like small college-ish.
Yeah, you're like up close and personal with the, you know, the biggest, strongest guys in the world. Okay, let's get good conversation, Ed. I'm done. Like, I feel like we've done enough.
We've done plenty.
This is entertainment. Speaking of that, before we get into the rest of the show. We're going to do the regular show, but I'm going to try for the first time for our Patreon subscribers. We're going to do some Patreon only content that's an addendum to the show, additional show. It's like the overtime. So look for that at patreon.com/theballerlifestyle. Go there. If you're not already a Patreon subscriber, become a Patreon subscriber. And there's probably like a level that you should give at, but I'm not going to get into that yet.
We know you're going to shame people if it's not to your liking.
Well, I mean, certain things need to be pointed out. The point is we're going to try to do a little extra content. We're going to start this week, patreon.com/theballerlifestyle. Go there, become a Patreon subscriber, become a financial contributor to the show, and you get a little bit more that only Patreon subscribers get to listen to. So look for that. Okay, email. You ready, Ed?
Yeah, let's do it.
Pretty pumped that last episode featured Brian saying, quote, loud comer. And now we have something grosser on the show than Jason Stewart saying finger banging. Keep up the good work. That's from Tariq El Moussa's dear friend / sparring partner. That's, of course, walk off HBP. Hey, listen. This, our very own Fancy Sauce, who likes to drop names, she alluded to the fact that it was David Spade's birthday. Happy birthday. Yeah. Was it his birthday? No, he had a car accident.
No, he almost died.
Whatever. He almost died in a car accident. That was a news story. And she was talking about, and then she mentioned that her ex-roommate used to have sex with David Spade. And she added the detail that they shared a wall. So it was, the question was bagged, Ed. David Spade make sex noises? What am I supposed to say?
No, but you kind of added that you are a loud comer, is what you said.
Is that no?
Yeah. It got real uncomfortable.
Did I say that?
Yeah, I kind of faded into the background when that happened.
I don't understand.
I used to have a roommate in college that like made a lot of noises, and I didn't.
The guy.
Yeah, and I didn't get it. Like, I don't know. Yeah. Why do guys make a lot of noise? Like, you don't make noise when you're masturbating. I don't feel like. I'm not talking about breathing. Like, heavy breathing. That's one thing.
Like, well, guys, like groaning and moaning.
Yeah, like when Stern will play, like as a joke, he'll play guys like, you know, porn stars trying to get their like catchphrase, which is like, like all that shit. Yeah, what is going on? I used to have a roommate who did that, and it was like,
no.
If I'm going to have to listen to sex, at least let me hear your girlfriend, not you.
I'm certain that I don't do that. I'm 100% certain that I don't make. I was probably being facetious and making jokes.
Okay, it just got like my ears started to bleed, so I just stayed quiet.
Okay, here's another one. I thought I lost my wallet and canceled my debit card. Please send me a link to change the card number for Patreon. Y'all be the first ones I thought of. Well, first of all, I don't know how to do that. I mean, I would just assume you logged when you went there the first time, you used your email and probably made a password. So I would just go back there, go to Patreon.
Every website says like, forgot your password, yeah, or
just
log
go
in,
there.
Like,
Just go there and use your email, or since it's a new card, just make a new account. Like, I don't know.
Make a new account.
You're not talking to Leo Laporte over here. Like, I could barely get this fucking thing on the internet. Like, I'm doing the best I can, right? But I appreciate it. So just go
back. Thank you, but yes. Yeah, we're not the guys to be asking these technical questions.
He allows that the wallet was under the bed, and then he adds the eye roll emoji. So this guy's redeemed himself. He continues. Just watched Ed's favorite movie, Wall Street 2: Money Never Sleeps, with the inimitable Shia LaBeouf. Would love to know what Mr. Wall Street himself thought of it. Also, okay, wait, first answer that, because after this he's got a Daily's Choice.
You know, I forget so much about that movie, but I remember when I saw it thinking, like, the best scenes, the only time the movie felt like it was doing something, were the scenes with Michael Douglas, and he was in, like, not much of it, I feel like.
I think that's when he had his tongue cancer from eating too much pussy.
Yeah, but I remember, like, hey, Gecko's on screen, like, he's doing something.
Right.
And then he'd disappear, and it was, like, the Shia LaBeouf story. It was like, what the fuck is this? I signed up for Gecko. No. Like, the previews made it seem like Gecko was in every other scene, but he was not.
And he wasn't.
No. It was one of those, bullshit previews where you think you're seeing something.
It was no Wolf of Wall Street. That was what your Wall Street experience was like, Ed. Like smoking crack in the bathroom, jerking off three times a day at work.
I would say that it was obviously not like that, but there were people I worked with that were kind of spillovers from that era.
Yeah, I love it.
Like I would have the occasional customer that like would demand strip clubs. Like,
yeah, right.
Like, yes. Demand things, and you're like, what?
Would you put the guy that ordered two steaks? Would you put him in that category?
That fucking asshole. Dave from Memphis. That's right.
You put him on Front Street. He used his whole name the first time.
We had to bleep out his last name because then I just said, I wonder if like listeners could. Could look him up, and they Googled, and he was the first result, and like his email address. I was like, oh, this is probably
it's the 2000s. Of course they can. Okay,
no, but you could think like sometimes like that name could be buried among a million others. Like no, that guy was the first result. So I'll just give you his first name.
Fuck Dave. Okay, Ed. Here we go.
Baby's choice. It's a choice I make. Watch me shiver while you shake.
We continue in this email. This emailer has offered up a Daily's Choice. For those of you that might be new to the program, this is a game that we play on the show. Ed Daly has announced that if he is ever at a urinal next to a well-known person, he's going to try to catch a glance at their dong.
Of course.
This game proposes that there are three urinals. Ed walks up to the middle one. There is a famous person at either side of him. He only has a brief moment to look over and check out one dong. Ed, Daily's Choice, Detroit White Rapper Edition, Eminem or Kid Rock? This is a fantastic Daily's Choice right here.
Oh, it's no question it's Eminem. Because that
you
dude,
love Eminem. You love Eminem.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean,
still.
Of course. Why wouldn't I?
I don't know. You're both in your 40s. It's a little weird.
Well, I mean, I don't know what he's put out in the last few years, but like, but no, he had a good song with like, he's still, you know, will do stuff with Kendrick Lamar. Like, he's not off the grid altogether.
Legend. Sure.
He's a legend.
That's the dong you're looking at, Eminem.
Kid Rock is the guy who's like Chevy truck commercial guy. Like he's not a real thing.
What's now Kid Rock? Kid Rock is an avowed Trump supporter. Like he sells Trump gear at his shows. And yet this Trump cannot get anybody to play
he got turned down by the B Street Band. Yeah. The Bruce cover band.
Why wouldn't he just get Kid Rock? Like Kid Rock plays to his audience. That's a win. Why wouldn't you get Kid Rock? I don't understand.
I think because the people who show up at the inauguration you know, I have a feeling the Kid Rock supporters can afford one concert a year, right, and that's Kid Rock. Right. They're not making their way down to DC for that show.
No.
That's where you get the worst.
Yeah.
The older, I mean, right. Bruce Springsteen would have been a great choice, except he hates Trump. So they're like, all right, we'll get the cover band.
The cover band's like, band.
Then like, I guess they saw a quote from Bruce and he really wasn't a big fan of it. They're like, hey, whatever the boss says. And they pulled out.
Of course. Duh. They still want to get booked around town. Like they're playing, you know, weddings and bar mitzvahs and shit. Okay. Right. Excellent. Daily's choice.
Yes.
Daily's choice. It's a choice I make. Daily's choice. Watch me shiver while you shake.
That was from our good buddy, Steve Beninga. Thank you for the email, Steve. Fix that Patreon situation. Get that bonus content. Okay, Ed, what is going on in the world of sports? What do we need to talk about?
All right, Philadelphia news station Fox 29 wished boxing legend Smokin' Joe Frazier a happy 73rd birthday last week. They said he would celebrate by giving back to the community and was going to meet with friends and supporters at City Hall later to promote a youth boxing program. The only hitch in the plan, Brian, was that Smokin' Joe died in 2011.
Ouch. Ouch.
Now, Brian, considering Philadelphia's art museum steps are adorned with the statue of a fictional boxer, and they can't keep track of whether or not their local stars are alive, are we sure the entire town isn't just huffing ether?
You know, I'll be honest, I saw the story, and I didn't know that, well, I didn't recall immediately that Joe Frazier had died.
Because you know why? He was criminally underrated.
It's true. It's true. He was not as good a talker as Muhammad Ali, which is bullshit. But I'm not from Philadelphia. Like, if he – like, people that are from where I'm from, say, for instance, Dan Quisenberry. I happen to know that Dan Quisenberry has passed on. Well, we went to the same high school. I know about Dan Quisenberry. Yeah. So this – if I were from Philadelphia – and if I were producing Philadelphia local news, which has to be awesome, I for sure think I would know that Joe Frazier had died.
And what was the, like, what was the other part? Like, somebody Googled an old story or something. They're like, yeah, he's coming to City Hall today to do this. And it's like, wow,
they had details. Difficult. They had details about what he was up to. Maybe there's another Joe Frazier. Maybe it's like Bigfoot. Like,
right.
It's not the original Bigfoot out there crushing cars, but it's like Uga 9.
Son of Bigfoot.
Yeah. Well, that's so close. So close on that local Philadelphia news.
2011 and, he died.
Yeah. People were hitting me up. Rocky, Sylvester Stallone, he showed up on the Golden Globes, and people were hitting me up on Twitter, and they're like, Rocky, what's going on with that hair system? And I'll tell you right now, first of all, Rocky looks amazing. He's 70 years old. The guy,
he's got a body of a not 70 year old. Like he's got bulk.
Right. A few years ago. See, your body makes less hormones as you get older. So what you got to do is you got to put those hormones back in yourself. And this Rocky, Sylvester Stallone, a few years ago, he got in trouble heading into Australia because he had a whole pharmacy of shit with him that he injects himself with. God bless him. Like, we all need to get on this shit because the guy looks fucking great. He's 70 years old. He looks like he's about 50. He's super buff. But the hair, those are hair plugs, guys. You're asking me what's going on?
I don't remember. Was he losing it in any... Like, I don't remember him having a hair issue. I can see coloring issues.
I don't either. But he's, if you look at it now,
he clearly has plugs.
Yeah, he's juiced it. It's the hairline's a little too low. It's too full. It's just it looks inauthentic is all. So he probably wasn't going to go fully bald, but he was going to go the normal amount of bald for a 70-year-old guy, which is less hair than you started.
That's pretty sad though. That Rocky is still fighting it. Like, it's one thing he wants to feel big and all, but like the hair, like, it's completely acceptable. What, you're 70. Let's just be okay. You're at Nighthawks.
Yeah, I was watching last night. I was watching little Australian Open from Melbourne.
I didn't even know it was on.
Yeah, it was on last night. And my guy, well, he's not even my guy. I don't know why I say that. The Spaniard, Rafa Nadal. He was playing.
So he wears capri pants.
He wasn't last night, but yeah, he has been seen in those before. He was really smoking this guy from Germany. And I was watching him, and he's really losing his hair, and he's got the all over kind of baldness, which is the worst kind, where he doesn't have like a receding. You know, most guys, most all of us are in a similar situation where you get the thigh marks in the front. It's called male pattern baldness, and the pattern is you start losing it in the corners of your receding hairline. It just starts to go
island green.
Yeah, and then in the back, you start having a little less on the top, and slowly that thing gets bigger on the top where you're losing it. But some guys start losing it all over, and it looks like they got the mange, where it's just like wisps of hair. They still have hair all over their head, but you can see scalp all over the top of their head, and that's what this Nadal guy has. And you know what? You just got to go. You got to shave that thing. Like, it looks bad. It's a bad look. You got to shave it.
And I got to say, for people who are bald or going bald, it's really not so bad, because I really hate getting haircuts. I mean, I hate it. My hair grows like a weed, and I've got fucking, I got to sit down and make chit chat all the time. I don't like that.
It's true. It's an issue. It's something I notice I need a haircut. And then about 3 weeks later, I go and get that haircut because I put it off. Yeah.
It's like, how many minutes can I spend on the fucking weather?
It's a long conversation. I go to this same girl, and I just sort of like ask her questions to keep the attention off of myself.
Yeah.
I want to talk about me.
For like 5 years, I just shaved my own head.
Yeah.
And then Michelle like told me I look really stupid and I need to start getting a proper haircut when my late 30s.
Yeah.
And so I waited a couple years and then I started getting proper haircuts.
Okay. What else is going on in sports?
All right. So after the Senate did one of those middle of the night votes to start dismantling Obamacare, Zero Dark 30 actress Jessica Chastain tweeted about
super sexy.
Yeah.
I would really like to have sex with her. Okay.
And,
go on.
And I dug that movie too. That was pretty badass.
Yeah. It was a good movie.
Mm-hmm. She tweeted how this is shitty for women who will now have to pay a high premium on birth control and basic health care. And the tweet was #, birth control is no longer covered by health insurance. Congrats, USA. You're doing your part to keep women out of the workforce. Yeah. #, SMF, shaking my fucking head.
And yeah, then like good for you, Ed.
And then an angry emoji, an angry face. Well, Milwaukee Brewers pitcher Matt Garza, the father of six, didn't take kindly to that tweet and responded, "It's called abstinence, a word that has been forgotten amongst this generation. It's the best contraceptive." And then # JUAT saying. So I think he was trying to say just saying, but he fucked up. So he put
Juat saying.
Juat saying,
yeah.
Well, Brian, we can carve into the back and forth in many different ways, but maybe we should just ask this important question. What decade is this?
Yeah.
Abstinence? What? No, the only people that practice abstinence are fucking nerds.
Yeah, people that can't get laid.
Yeah. I mean, everyone's having sex. Abstinence? Yeah. If he argued rhythm method, at least you'd be like, well, you know, he's kind of got a religious bent. But like, abstinence is not a thing. It's not a thing. Priests were fucking nuns. Nuns and kids hundreds and hundreds of years ago. That's like, true. There is a history of abstinence is never going to work.
Well, it turns out that our genetic makeup tells us that we need to reproduce. It's not really a choice. You can't really, like we're pretty smart and our brains are pretty developed, but we still have at our base a few primal instincts. We need to eat. We need to breathe air. We need to drink water. We
need to get the poison out.
And we need to fuck. Yeah. We need to ejaculate. That's just, you need to spread your seed. That's why every ass you see, you have to look at. It's not that you're an asshole or a chauvinist, or it's just in you to want to procreate. It's just who you are. And this Matt Garza, obviously no stranger to that, because he's got six fucking kids. I'll be honest though, Ed, I saw this guy's name.
Yeah.
And I immediately Googled, because he sounded like he could have gone to Long Beach State. Long Beach State, we have a pretty good baseball program. We put a lot of players in the big leagues. And I heard this guy's name and I go, oh my God, this guy sounds like he might have gone to Long Beach State. So I had to Google him. Luckily, he went to Fresno State.
Okay.
Which is a big relief for me.
Rival?
Well, no, but it's just not. It's not. It's just another Cal State school. So the other thing is, who is following actresses on Twitter?
I don't know. I think when I first joined Twitter, I looked at these are some accounts to follow, and quickly you realize these are not people to follow.
I remember Shaq was the big follow. You got to follow Shaq. That Shaq's so funny. And I followed Shaq for 5 minutes. I'm like, is this what Twitter is?
He's like how he is in real life. Unfunny.
Yeah. Yeah. I would like to follow Jessica Chastain, but I don't because she probably doesn't say anything I'm interested in.
That's like when I sometimes will be Facebook friends with my wife's friends and coworkers, I realize they just want to post pictures of their kids. Yeah. That's not what I'm in it for.
No, I got that issue as well. Yeah, move on. Okay, one more, Ed. What is going on in the world of sports?
Okay, Atlanta Hawks general manager Wes Wilcox is in hot water over a statement he made at a fan event recently. Wilcox was fielding questions from a group of fans and tried to ease tensions by saying, I know you guys may be angry with me, but I'm used to it because I have a black wife and 3 mixed kids. So I'm used to people being angry and argumentative. Now, the Hawks dispute that Wilcox used the words angry and argumentative, but Hawks chief diversity and inclusion officer Nzinga Shaw told ESPN that Wilcox made some off-color statements.
Yeah, you can do that.
And the team took this joke very seriously. Brian, considering this is probably the most interesting, honest thing that's ever said at a hokey fan event, shouldn't Wilcox be given a raise?
Yeah, well, there's a couple things going on here. Didn't the Atlanta Hawks have to fire renowned Dookie, former NBA player Danny Ferry for having some sort of racially charged language?
He said something about what's Lowell Deng, I think. About Lowell Deng being African or something.
Like in a scouting report, he's like doesn't play like the typical African or something like sort of that was innocuous, but that came off the wrong way. I don't know who this Larry Wilcox is. I know he was on Chips. He played Ponch's partner, John Baker.
Right.
But I will say this. I have a lot of respect for, and I don't take this as racist, because this is really true. I have a lot of respect for any white guy that manages to marry a black woman. That
agreed.
Yeah. That you got some kind of game. Like that is a win. That is a win in life. So I let him off the hook for that.
Well, I think that he married a black woman and he can talk.
Right.
He can talk about, I'm not Jewish.
He's in the club.
I'm not Jewish. I married a Jewish woman.
Yeah.
I can definitively say I know a thing or two about miserable holiday gatherings. Like, that's just the way it is. Right. Like, I married into Judaism in some way, and I can speak a little bit about it. If he's saying that, you know, black women are argumentative, and he's married to a black woman, like, he can say that. It does, you know, doesn't have to mean 100% of the time that's the case. He's allowed to. I mean, he's got a black wife. Let him talk. He's not saying black women are inferior. He's just saying like a kind of a general statement about black women.
Totally. I agree. Let Larry Wilcox off the hook here. Also, we really have reached an age where it's no one's ears can be offended by anything. Like you just can't. I saw that there's that conservative blogger from Breitbart, Milo
Yiannopoulos.
He's a real douche. I can't stand the guy. But he was like chased off camp. Like he was going to give a speech at some fucking at UC Davis. And they freaked out and they said, no, he can't come here and talk. Well, just let him. I don't care if you agree with him or not. Just let him go there and do his talk.
And then trash him in the Q&A part.
Yeah, yeah. Go there, ask your questions, make him look like a fool, or just don't go. Just don't go and show that there's no audience for that.
Yeah.
Like, what's it going to do? Someone goes and makes a speech or gives a talk that is words you don't agree with. Who gives a fuck? Like, there's plenty of things. Like, I'm not going to see La La Land. It's not my cup of tea.
Right.
I'm not going to go check out the touring show of Hamilton. Why? Not something I'm interested in.
When I was in college, there were some shitty bands that played at my school. Right. I didn't go crazy. It was like, well, then that's something I won't check out.
You'll never catch me at a Dave Matthews concert.
I feel Matthews might have been at my school in college.
He probably was. I won't be someone that protests Dave Matthews' right to play places. Maybe I should.
Oh, you know who was at my school? Hootie. Hootie and the Blowfish.
Oh, yeah, Hootie. The dude's name is not even Hootie. Like, why do you have when you're the front man, do you call your band Hootie and the Blowfish? And that's not even your name. I don't even think he likes being called that.
Yeah, and why was he always talking about crying?
Right. Darius Rucker.
A lot of tears in that band.
Yeah. Okay, Ed.
Yeah.
My name is Brian.
It's amazing.
They call me the other guy. I host a podcast show. I'll give hetero life a try. If you see something on my hand that makes you think I'm not a man, it's just my crew rings, you see. They're as sparkly as can be. I'm my own Troy on DVD.
You just don't see that line coming. He really closes it so strong. Yeah,
the hammer is dropped.
Just an amazing song. Ed, none of us likes going to the DMV.
No.
It's a major
just got the letter.
Factor.
Just got the letter. It said by the end of March, I need to get a new driver's license.
Yeah. Do you actually have to go?
Because you have to get a new thing. Otherwise, they give you in New Jersey, I think they still have the non-picture ID.
Oh, really?
So you have to go in to get a picture, or otherwise they just give you, I don't know.
Brutal.
You can't just like say use the same picture from 4 years ago.
Well, some people like it less than others. Take, for instance, this guy in Lebanon, Virginia, who used 300,000 pennies to pay taxes on two cars that he owned at the DMV. Nick Stafford was the man's name. He told the paper that he wheeled the pennies into the office to quote, prove a point and get, and quote.
Oh, he proved a point.
Get back at state government. He claims he was given the runaround and forced to sue the state after he was denied direct phone numbers to DMV offices in his area following a Freedom of Information Act request.
Oh, boy.
Quote, if they were going to inconvenience me, then I was going to inconvenience them, he told the newspaper. I think the backbone to our republic and our democracy is open government and transparency in government, and it shocks me that a lot of people don't know the power of Freedom of Information Act. Ed, who's the real loser here? The Virginia DMV? The loser that wheelbarrowed the pennies to the DMV? Or the loser's neighbors, who no doubt have to deal with weird shit that this guy does on a regular?
I didn't think about it. The amount of free advice he's given while he's out flipping burgers in the backyard.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, that fucking guy. Anybody within earshot of him has got to hear his theories on government. Yeah, what we're entitled to.
You know he fires up the driving mower at 6 a.m. on a Saturday, and he's like, it's my right. This is my property.
My right.
This is my sovereign land right here.
Yeah, I'm the king of my castle.
Yeah.
The whole idea, one, that he's going to prove his point against the state who has certain rules by just shitting all over somebody standing behind a counter. I heard a comedian say it recently. I can't remember who, but they were talking about how the DMV and the post office, the problem is almost always the people the people, the customers there, not like there are specific rules and the people behind the counter can only do certain things.
Right.
And it's the shitty attitude and the people who can't follow simple directions like fill this form out and step to your left. And then they show up at the front of the line. They haven't filled anything out. Like, it's all that bullshit. It's the people who make the place worse. And like these poor people behind the counter, they got to deal with this. And also this asshole definitely spent a lot of money transporting all this money and a lot of time. I mean, he's a complete asshole.
He probably made his shitty kids help him. There's a picture and there was like 9 wheelbarrows full of pennies.
Yeah. He's such a jerk off.
And don't tell me that there was no way to pay these back taxes on his cars or whatever without going to the DMV. You can say what you will about local and state and federal governments, but I'll tell you one thing. They're pretty good at collecting money. Right. If you owe them money, they're going to make it very easy for you to give them that money. That's right. The only thing they do well.
Anytime you get a parking ticket or something, right on the back it says, go to this website if you just want to pay online. Right. They want you to pay.
The Gestapo in West Hollywood got me a couple years ago.
Yeah.
For not having my wheels turned.
Oh, son of a bitch.
In towards the curb.
That is like the jaywalking of parking tickets.
I mean, such, like, just... Who even, like, there's no one drives a manual transmission vehicle anymore.
Right.
You know, so it's not like your car's going to slip out of gear and roll down the hill. And I think they were, like, sort of turned a little bit, but definitely not turned all the way. And they got me for, like, $40 or something.
Bastards. And then you could fight it, but then it's like, well, they've already done this much. Like, now I'm going to spend a day fighting this ticket. Like, I might as well just... pay the check.
Not worth it.
Get out of there.
Not worth it. Now there's, if you get a speeding ticket, this is probably a nationwide thing. There's companies that like bulk negotiate tickets. So you call up this company and you just pay them. And I think it's like a little bit less than the speeding ticket. And they go, we'll get you out of this for free because these courts are overwhelmed with all these cases. These lawyers will go, here, I'm going to clear 500 of these cases off your docket today if you do me a solid on this one other one. So that there's now a cottage industry that's sprung up around parking and moving violations. Speaking of losers, Ed.
Yeah.
Former New York City Congressman Anthony Weiner is in the news again.
He can't stop being in the news.
And just when we thought the ween couldn't sink any lower, we find out that he's living with his mother.
Oh, no.
He apparently is really working to get back with his wife, Huma. Hanging out at his mom's house in Park Slope. It's a pretty bougie area.
I think he was
Brooklyn,
a rich kid.
Is it not? Grew up rich.
But then again, if it's his mom home, maybe he's not rich. Like, it's now a rich area, but like, who knows if his mom was just somebody who...
Sure.
But I don't know. I thought he was a rich kid.
Yeah. So Weiner has apparently found his higher power and is trying to get back together with the wife from whom he's separated. They're co-parenting their son, but the son is the same one that's pictured in some of the sex that he was sending to a 15-year-old
girl. The erection,
like,
15 inches away.
Yeah, it's a little hard to overcome that. He's a sex addict. Yeah. Ed, but most importantly, he's living with his mom. Can we assume that this is his rock bottom?
It's got to be, because I was thinking about, there was a girl I went to high school with that had a whole lot of sex, and her parents had to take the door off the hinges so there wouldn't be any closed
doors.
Jesus
Christ. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So I was thinking maybe his mom would be like, all right, Anthony, you can stay here, but we're going to take the door off the hinges. None of that nonsense.
Right. Yes.
Anthony, it's an awful long time in the bathroom.
He's like 47. He's flexing in the mirror.
Hey, Anthony, where's my chamomile lotion? Where are you?
Uh, That is his life right now. And he the guy just could not stop sending dick pics. It's
crazy.
He has a problem.
He had a political career derailed, and then all of a sudden he miraculously got it back on track, and it was derailed for the same exact reason.
Yeah.
Like, meanwhile, it's one thing if he had like a cocaine problem.
Sure.
Like, this was just, he could easily just not send those dick pics.
Meanwhile, his wife, Huma, is on the road campaigning for Hillary. She's probably working 19-hour days.
Right.
This guy is free to have all manner of actual affairs with legal age broads.
Sure.
But he needs a record of it. That's what makes him horny, is just being dirty on the internet.
Right.
Creeper.
Yeah, really gross way. Like, and calling himself Carlos Danger. Like,
just, I forgot about that. Yeah,
just really, like, it's just weird. And it goes back to, like, when we were talking about, like, the Trump comments that were with Billy Bush, like, it's just like, in a way that if your buddy talked that way, you'd be like, Carlos Danger, what the fuck is that?
So gross. Okay, one more.
Yeah.
And I'm conflicted about this one, Ed, because it juxtaposes two of the things I despise most.
Mm-hmm.
Martin Shkreli.
Yes.
And weaponized feces. Martin Shkreli, known as Pharma Bro, was scheduled to appear at a college campus event. I think this was in
conjunction. He was with Milo.
Well, yeah, with Milo. When someone reportedly threw dog feces at his face during a protest. Shkreli, a former pharmaceutical executive charged with federal securities fraud, and Breitbart columnist Milo Yiannopoulos were supposed to speak at UC Davis on Friday. A video shows Shkreli surrounded by cameras and appearing to wipe something off his eye after someone hurled an unknown substance at him. Shkreli did not immediately respond to a request for the comment about the poop claim, but he did tell someone in an email that there wasn't, quote, there was no poop thrown, unfortunately, and bashed the initial reports as fake news. He then added that his security team determined it was leaves that he brushed off his face.
Oh, leaves.
Quote, the lack of smell, stain, or other obvious findings eliminates the possibility, Shkreli said. Ed, based on his overly effusive denial, I think we can all agree that it was, in fact, an airborne shit scud that connected with Shkreli's glaringly punchable mug.
Absolutely.
Which begs the question, what is the worst kind of excrement you could imagine coming into contact with your handsome Irish visage?
It would be Martin Shkreli. Yes. He's the worst kind of shit on earth.
Yes.
And that motherfucker who proudly jacked up prices, yep, AIDS medication, and just like
a douche.
Like he's so proud to play the fucking heel. And I agree with you in most scenarios that, you know, like the weaponized feces is a terrible bodily fluid in awful. Any kind is awful.
Awful.
But this guy wanted to antagonize the world. And you know what, Martin? Sometimes the world's gonna hit back. And he deserves every
with
bit of
shit.
It because he is a proud asshole. That's the worst kind. He knows he's an asshole and wants to be an even bigger asshole.
Yeah, he's scheduling speaking engagements for himself, putting his punchable face out there. I when I was looking at that, I really had a hard time. I need to know, like, what is the least gross term for shit? Like, is it feces? Excrement? What about scat? I'm partial to scat, Ed.
Scat. But you wouldn't say that scat is like German porn. You wouldn't say scat like, I gotta go scat.
What? Like, no, that's true. I don't know.
Somebody goes, hey, I gotta, just hang on a second, I gotta go scat. People are like, what the fuck is going on with him?
I think scat is only the noun form. Like, there's some,
I gotta he go was drop hitting the face with some.
He was hitting the face with some scat.
I want to go pinch a loaf.
Whatever happened to MC Scat Cat? I felt like,
yeah, well, opposites things apparently didn't attract. He was out.
I felt like things were going to go well for him, but it was just that one song.
Yeah, I guess Paula realized that the cartoon foxes were not the way. They're not the way of the future.
He He wasn't a fox. He was a cat.
Scat
cat.
Oh, yeah, I got it. Whatever. Whatever. I didn't watch too many of those videos, but I remembered a cartoon. It was like, it was around the same time as Roger Rabbit. Like, they were trying to get in the same, like, type of area. Yeah, let's do cartoons and people hanging out.
But a buddy of mine is a sort of a music industry person, and he told me one time that he met Paul Abdul, and he's like, all I could think when as I was shaking her hand is how many times I jacked off to her videos back in the day.
I was thinking about this. There was something on TV doing a retrospective on En Vogue.
And oh, God, yeah. I used to have a crush on Dawn from En Vogue. She was married to Glenn Bragg.
Really? I used to beat my dick like it owed me money to the En Vogue videos.
Okay. Joining us now, it is time, our very own pop culture correspondent. It's Fancy Sauce. How you doing, Fancy?
I have not...
made you aware of this yet, but we're doing a little Patreon bonus content.
Oh, cool.
So there's a couple things that that's coming up after the show. I've already previewed it to the listeners.
Okay.
But we got an email that I thought was particularly funny, and it's an email for you.
Okay.
So I put out a request for some more emails. So we have a couple of emails that we're gonna ask you a few questions.
Okay.
After the show for our Patreon only bonus content. You should don't feel like you have to answer everything because
personal questions.
Certain people have weighed in with certain questions that will make you uncomfortable for sure.
I can only imagine.
Yes. Let's go. We have a couple emails. We'll do some emails on the show, but again, we have more to discuss in the Patreon only bonus content.
Yes. Shout out a couple of new Patreon subscribers.
Yes, please.
Before we get started, Ross Burns.
Yes.
Ross Bruns. Thank you. I just read that. Bruns.
Yes. Good
Bruns.
Dude.
Mm-hmm. And Adam Ansel.
Adam Ansel. Great dude.
Thank you guys so much. Yep. Welcome to the Patreon family. And apparently soon you're going to be privy to Patreon only content, which is me answering some.
Yes.
God only knows what questions.
It's kind of like when you had to go through those.
And you're probably going to want a refund.
It's like when you had to go.
Free subscription after that.
When you had to go through that beaded curtain back in the day to. Because the real content you wanted was behind the beaded curtain or the saloon doors in the back of the video store. Do you know about that, Kate?
Yeah, I do. I know what you're talking about.
But you never went back behind any saloon doors or behind any beaded curtains back in the day?
No, we didn't have those kind of shops where I grew up.
Yeah, I didn't think so. okay. Email. Hey, y'all. Are we getting sick of the F. Mary kills, by the way? Or are we still into these? Because Ish is sending one every week.
Sometimes there's good discussion.
Okay, here's one. F. Mary kill, Richard Gere, Richard Dreyfuss, Richard Lewis, off the board, Richard Simmons. That's from Ish. Kate, quickly. Richard Gere, that's obviously who you would fuck. Right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Richard Dreyfuss, Richard Lewis. That Richard Lewis could be pretty annoying, I bet.
I don't think I could hang with him in a match.
Yeah, I mean, he's funny in spots, but to spend your life with him.
Yeah, he is pretty funny, actually.
I feel like the character he plays on Curb Your Enthusiasm, much like funny. Larry David,
is very much him. Yeah, Richard Lewis is actually very funny. His stand-up's very funny.
So I would marry my granddad.
Yeah, Richard Dreyfuss.
Yeah.
Okay, Daily Quickly?
I think I one time heard something about Dreyfuss. I think he's going to have to be killed. And I mean, Richard Gere is still, I think I saw him recently. He's still beautiful.
He's 70. Yeah. He's an older gentleman,
really, but a beautiful 7-year-old.
I think he's 70. Yeah.
I'm going to Google that. I mean, he's American Gigolo. You gotta have sex with him.
He's a Buddhist. He's probably a tantric,
67.
He's probably a tantra practitioner, so he can really give it to you properly and for an extended period of time.
Yeah.
So he's got that going for him.
Yeah, that sounds delightful.
That gerbil thing, that's probably just an urban legend, right?
Well, I'm going to find out when I have sex with him.
Right. Ask him.
But then And then, yeah, I think you'd be annoying, but at least you'd be plugged into some funny people and, like, you could have some decent dinner parties with Richard Lewis. So I'm going to marry him.
Yeah. Same. Fuck Richard Gere. Marry Richard Lewis. Sorry. Dick Dreyfuss. Apologize.
Oh, how good was he in What About Bob? You guys are so mean.
Bob? I'm gonna call Richard Dreyfuss after this show was recorded and tell him.
He's a very good actor.
He's good.
Well, you got to kill somebody. And then this is also from Ish. Ish really, it's very prolific this week. This is a new game he's proposing. So let's see how this goes over. It's called Band Name or Reel. You have to guess if this is a band name or a real thing. Uh-huh. Okay. The Love Egg. Is it a small egg-shaped vibrator or an eclectic 80s cover band from Austin, Texas?
The former.
Yeah, it's a vibrator,
right? It's a vibrator.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I think that's right. I'm not sure. You could try that again-ish, and we'll see how that game goes over. We'll see. Yeah. We'll give it a round two, maybe. Okay, another email. This is a game I'm into right here. Back by popular demand. Here is the scenario. Fancy is touring some collaborative project of the HGTV shows Rehab Addict or Flipper Flop. And Flipper Flop. While walking through the home, she hears some commotion upstairs. Racing up the staircase, Fancy is struck with a dilemma. In one room, Rehab Addict lady has hastily spilled paint thinner on her tank top, forcing her to immediately take everything off above her waist, exposing her enhanced chest. In the other room, Christina El Moussa, who Ed is familiar with, is inspecting a bathroom remodel done by a shoddy fly-by-night subcontractor when the shower head starts spraying water all over her designer blouse.
Wow, this is creepy.
It's really setting it up for me, Ed. I like it. In the frenzy, she quickly removes her top and bra, setting free her bare boobs. To the question, which blushing blonde garners her gaze? Fancy, I don't know who the Rehab Addict lady is.
So who's
this is some deep cable.
There's a show on Home and Garden TV called Rehab Addict?
Apparently.
Her name's Nicole.
I thought that was like home improvement shows.
the first suggestion is the Rehab Addict lady pregnant? I don't know.
And who's it? You said Ed's favorite. Who's the other person?
That's
Nicole Curtis and what's her name?
Christina El Moussa. She's the divorced, the divorcing soon couple from the other show.
We have given them more publicity than I had ever heard in my entire life. Like,
but they're on the cover of People magazine.
I mean, who are these people? And I got to tell you, I couldn't get my eyes off of the guy's almost cyclops eye.
He's got very close together eyes.
I'm gonna say
I don't
Christina.
Even know what she looks like.
This Rehab Addict, they're both very basic.
I'm going to say Christina.
Yeah, I'm going to go with that. This Rehab Addict, there's a picture of here on Google Images of her in a bikini top. She's not really... Well, oh, wait, but then here's another one. Oh, this is tough. Yeah, I go Christina, too.
I mean, it's not tough at all.
I love that game. It's a great game. I like the setup. You know, I need a little setup, Ed. Like,
You like story.
I don't jump right to the money shot, Ed. I like to be romance.
Well, I never want to see the money shot. Bit. Never ever want to see
me
that.
Either. Me either. I'm same here.
I'm looking at her. She looks pretty good.
They both look good. Okay. So there's more. We have more questions for Fancy, but we're going to save those for the Patreon only segment of the Patreon, whatever. Patreon.
I wasn't correcting you. I just said Team Patreon.
Oh, Team Patreon. Yeah. Okay. What is going on in the world of pop culture? That's why you're here. You're here to tell us what's happening in the real news.
Let me tell you what's happening in the news this week. You guys are all sick of hearing about Donald Trump. Mm. Let me fill you on some other stuff.
He's going to be the president.
No, he's not.
At the end of the week.
He's not. I don't believe it. I swear
to God.
There's no way. All right.
I did like that he was... did you see Saturday Night Live, Ed?
I don't know. This week, I don't think I saw it.
Alec Baldwin has a fantastic 4 years coming up.
So good. I'm not. This is one of these things that you would think that you could burn out on pretty quickly.
Yeah.
And he did. He was doing.
Does not get old.
He's doing his Trump, and he's like, "Yeah, he's like, I'm Donald Trump. He's like, I'm gonna be the 41st president of the United States." And 2 months later, Mike Pence is going to be the 42nd president of the United States. He had the numbers wrong. 45th. Yeah, oh. But he had the numbers wrong in the bit.
Oh, that's funny.
It was funny. Yeah, it was a good bit. Okay, what's
all
going
right.
on, Kate?
Kicking off. Lamar Odom says he's grateful to wife Khloe Kardashian for staying by his side throughout his drug addiction and recovery.
Right.
And he wants to win her back.
Yeah.
Same old story. He was opening up about his battle with drugs on a show called The Doctors, apparently.
That's a daytime show.
Yeah, after he completed a 30-day stint in rehab. And he said, one thing is perfectly clear to him now. I want my wife back.
Good
so,
for you, Lamar.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. There is a slight problem. Khloe has filed for divorce and it's finalized. So yeah. She's already moved on to NBA star Tristan Thompson.
People get remarried.
So
that usually works.
He might be a little bit late to the wooing back.
Yeah. The whole like
poor Lamar
overdosing on synthetic Viagra
poor
and
Lam.
Free base cocaine at a whorehouse. Like
usually a red flag.
Yeah, that would be a deal breaker for me. Okay, Kate, what else is going on in the world of pop culture?
Jeff Goldblum, 64, and wife Emily Livingston, 33, are soon to be welcoming their second child.
Amazing.
Who? I didn't catch the husband.
Jeff Goldblum. Jeff Goldblum.
Oh. Goldblum. Yeah. He had
put him on the list.
He had her on Letterman one time. She's like she's an ex-Olympian.
Yeah, gymnast.
Gymnast, right.
Yeah.
I think she does interpretive dance
now. Yeah. This, I believe Jeff Goldblum is on the list. We were making a list a while back of the actors with the biggest cocks. And I believe Jeff Goldblum is known to be one of those dudes. That's just packing hate.
He seems like it because he's so comfortable. Every interview, he's delightful because
very
he doesn't,
confident.
He's confident. He doesn't give a shit. Like I like his interviews.
And he's such a good actor that people would seek him out for like acting coaching, and I think that was like his move is that he was just slaying his students left and right.
He used to cruise around Equinox in West Hollywood, which is a gym I used to be a member of.
Oh, dropping names
in his jeans with those like tinted sunglasses on.
Wait, workout in jeans guy.
Yeah, uh-oh. Just like do a little bit of this and a little bit of that
in jeans,
but mostly just like cruising the gym.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the same gym where Pauly Shore hangs out by the front and just hits up broads as they walk out, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good
move.
Quite
a meat market. Yeah. Nice move, Jeff Goldblum. And 64, like, yeah, he's 30 years older than his wife, but he's Jeff Goldblum. Like, you can't hate on the guy because he's amazing.
He's a delight.
He's like, he's a 44-year-old, 64.
Yeah, he's awesome. Okay. What else?
Steve Harvey caved and apologized after joking that Asian men are not attractive. The Family Feud host mocked Asian men on the Steve Harvey Show last week during a segment in which he poked fun at some self-help books, including one titled How to Date a White Woman, A Practical Guide for Asian Men. The comedian tweeted an apology on Tuesday saying, I offer my humblest apologies for offending anyone, particularly those in the Asian community last week. It was not my intention, and the humor was not meant with any malice or disrespect whatsoever. I was just making a racist joke.
People were confused because the words got lost behind those veneers of his.
I gotta say, I see
no
almost no difference between Steve Harvey and Larry the Cable Guy. Both are supposedly comedians, but I see zero talent in either of them.
Yeah.
Just none.
I agree.
Kenan Thompson did a really good impression of Steve Harvey on SNL this past weekend.
Kenan Thompson.
So good.
That guy is so fucking funny. Funny. He's been on Saturday Night Live for so long, you sort of like take him for granted, but he always kills it. Yeah. That guy's very funny. Okay, what else, Kato?
Hot new music couple alert, Selena Gomez and The Weeknd.
Whoa.
A.K.A. Abel Tesfaye.
His name's Abel.
Yeah.
Abel?
Wait, he's got like an Arab name?
Biblical.
Say his name again?
Yeah, Abel Tesfaye.
Tesfaye. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah. I believe he is of Middle Eastern descent.
Did not know that.
I'm not sure. Maybe.
This guy's a hit maker. I mean, he is got all. Ed, are you familiar with The Weeknd?
Sure. Okay. I'm not a massive fan, but yeah, I'm familiar. Yeah.
You know who he is. Yeah. Same here. He's got supposedly
that, like, fucked up hair, right?
Yeah, I think he might have gotten rid of that, or is it back?
I don't know. It's intentionally all over the map.
Yeah, it's like a couple of dreads kind of on top, and they're like, or it's like, I don't know, it's kind of nappy.
But in a specific way, not like he's keeping it
like you let a blind person cut it.
Like it's not unkempt. It's like specifically curated to look especially odd.
Yes, I would agree with that.
He's Canadian, but I'm trying to find his ethnic.
Amazing. I believe the situation here is that this The Weeknd, he was loved up with that model Bella Hadid, who is a close friend.
Hot.
Very hot. But she's a close friend of this Selena Gomez, and that's guy code. You're not allowed to do that.
Okay, newsflash, his parents are Ethiopian.
Oh, really? There's a phrase for
Bella
that.
Yeah, Bella Hadid's a bit.
You don't sweep another man's porch.
So apparently, a day after Gomez and The Weeknd were spotted kissing on a date in L.A., Bella Hadid unfollowed Celine on Instagram and later posted a photo of herself flipping the bird.
Yeah.
So that happened.
It's fucked up.
Anyway.
You don't swoop in and bang your mate's man.
Yeah.
Behind his back.
Selena might be a little shady.
Yeah, not cool. Okay, what else?
And lastly, I have some international news.
Oh, interesting.
Vladimir Putin, that topless hunk in Russia.
Yeah. Oh, he's fantastic.
Apparently scoffed at the now discredited dossier, suggesting Donald Trump engaged in funny business in Russia. Didn't stop about bragging from the country's prostitutes, though. Putin held a news conference in the Kremlin, throwing shade at the ex-British intelligence officer's so-called report. Putin said Trump's been surrounded by beauty pageant contestants for years. And, quote, "I find it hard to believe that he rushed to some hotel to meet girls of loose morals. Although, ours are undoubtedly the best in the world."
I love this. Putin is like the Russian Trump, but he's like better at it. He's like,
he really
our hooker's
better.
Best. We have best hookers. Your hooker's no good. Only our hooker's best.
I honestly don't care whatsoever about the hooker thing. Like,
no one does.
Like, I mean, obviously,
that's a red herring.
If he's compromised, like he's being blackmailed, that's sure. One thing. But like everybody knows he's morally, ethically bankrupt. Like,
sure.
Who cares that he got hookers? I care more that he was attacking, you know, civil rights heroes.
Exactly. I don't believe Trump is imaginative enough to have a pee fetish, though.
No. I picture him, like, climbing on top of his hooker and just going, okay, you can go.
Yeah.
Like, I don't see him, like, really having robust sexual fantasies and fetishes. I just don't.
You can go. Killian will pay you on the way out.
Yeah, I just picture his, like, pasty, gross body, like, laying on top of someone and just pumping a couple times.
Yeah, he doesn't strike me as very imaginative or creative in the bedroom.
No,
so I'm not buying the whole, like, pee thing.
No. Okay. That it, Cato?
Yep, that's it.
Excellent job all the way around.
Nice work, everybody.
I implore you, if you are a Patreon subscriber to this program, go to that website now, patreon.com, assuming I was able to upload something to it, which I haven't looked at how to do, but I'm sure I can
do that. We're all riding a roller coaster. We're not sure how it's going.
Yeah, we figured it out.
Yeah.
I know how to do it.
See, Kate can figure it out. She's our link to the Patreon world.
She's the brains of the operation.
Go there and check out the after show, patreon.com/theballerlifestyle. Become a subscriber and listen to Ask Fancy. For Fancy Sauce, for Ed Daly, I'm Brian Beckner. This has been the Baller Lifestyle Podcast from theballerlifestyle.com, episode 152. We will see you next week.
Goodbye.
Mm-hmm.